The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, we are using practice, in a way, to get the life we want. And we're using life to get the practice we want. And part of the opportunity of social life is we're in situations that activate different dimensions of our mind. The varied facets of interpersonal life activate different dimensions of the mind. And there are many forces in the mind that are obvious, and you don't need to be still to see them. You see them all the time. But some forces sort of idle in most contexts. It takes very particular kind of set of conditions in order to see those forces of the mind. And that phrase that I've mentioned a few weeks ago, I think, in every the verses of Sharing and Aspiration, Thai Forest Lineage, in every kind of birth may have an upright mind. And specifically in every kind of birth, born into this moment, into this context, what birth do I take? What's the shape of my mind? And as practitioners, we value conditions insofar as they provide different mirrors for our mind. And I have, generally speaking, a kind of very supple relationship with myself, sort of playful and forgiving. And I genuinely love being made fun of, even when it's about like my real deficiencies and neurosis. In fact, it's funniest when it's about my real deficiencies and neurosis. That's not a plea for the chat to go off or anything, but I actually, so long as it's not mean-spirited, I just love that. And it almost feels like what might blossom into self-consciousness or some shame is fully embraced and transformed by the laughter. Neurosis, in other words, is not self. And there's so much delight in that. And sometimes I'll co-teach with somebody who from the dais teases me, you know, and I, you know, delight. And but we always get some feet. Cara Lai is one of those. She's savage with me, you know, and we always get some feedback like Matthew's co-teacher needs to be nicer to him. And it's like, no, you're missing the tone. It's all play. It's all play. It's playing with the conventions of self. Self is not a thing. You know, it's an experience of identification. And the sense of self is the kind of momentary identification with a particular model of me, my place in the world. Momentary identification with a model of me. And so the not in not self doesn't mean we dispute the content of the representation, but disidentify with it. So it's not like, okay, before I had insight into a not self, I thought of myself as dumb, and now I think of myself as smart. Is that we understand that smartness, cleverness, whatever, is of the nature of not self. And ordinarily, we represent ourself in consciousness, but we do not know it as a representation. We represent, represent ourselves. And that representation is transparent, meaning we don't see it, we see through it. Sense of self is frozen or solidified, and we think we're looking at the world, but we're looking at our mind. And so we train to notice the avatar of self as it arises moment by moment. And what are the kind of characteristics of the model with which we're identified? What are the characteristics of the self model with which we're identified? And sometimes we can notice points of identification as they arise. We get defensive, for example, a kind of hallmark of self-view. We get defensive. It's not subtle. It's not difficult to see what identification we take to be sacred, the sacred ground of our ego is, right? What story about yourself is worth defending? We inquire. But identification is occurring at a more subtle level, and our self model is not so obvious, but it's kind of sort of idling in the background. And just like we think we're in touch with anicca, with impermanence, until something changes and we're startled, and then we recognize that all along we've been projecting, assuming permanence. And it's kind of a latent model of self that remains unstimulated, unexamined, but still idling there. And it's only a particular set of conditions that draw it out. So all of that is a kind of preamble to saying that recently a small group of people did something really nice for me. Maybe that's a little plot twist in this little mini Dharma talk. That's not where this seemed like it was headed. But yeah, somebody did some people did something really nice, and that sounds good, and it sounds like one should be able to enjoy that unambivalently, right? No, it would be wrong to assume that. So I found myself like genuinely appreciative, but it evoked an aspect of the self model that doesn't usually manifest. And what came up was something like, I'm not worthy of their effort or the love of these people. And it manifested as a kind of discomfort evoked by this friction. I'm not worthy of this care. Here is this care. There's friction. And that might be preferable to the identification with a model of self that is fully entitled to love from everyone, everywhere, everything, right? Okay. But identification is identification needs airing out. And this is not a conscious aspect of how I think about myself. I do not walk around feeling unworthy, something like that. But in those particular circumstances, there was this, there it was, obvious, jarring, a kind of latent model of self with which I'm not usually confronted. And jarring is usually an opportunity. jarring is an invitation into the Dharma. And maybe every identification has a kind of underbelly. I'm not worthy of love is also, I'm self-sufficient. Not worthy of love is also, I'm not entitled. Not worthy is also, I elevate you over me. I am sensitive to the needs of others. Okay. Yeah, maybe even self-harshness is entangled with self-cherishing. We air it out. We air it out. And so we might imagine the answer is to rewrite the story of self. I am worthy of this care, of this kindness, of this love. And maybe that's certainly not terrible. But the deeper fix is actually non-identification. The deeper expression of love for oneself is non-identification. And so we actually practice draining the affective feeling electric charge from this self model. What is the energy, the tendrils, like keeping that identification in place? And in some ways, it's just like any kind of clinging, the clinging to some self-view, and all clinging hurts. Clinging might feel better than the alternative to some part of our mind, but it always hurts. So we stay steady, painful, patient with the pain of that self model of being clinging to it, holding on, aversive, mindful, embodied, feeling some of the energy draining, kind of like just air hissing out of an overinflated tire. That's who I thought I was. I'm not that. Don't have to know what I am, but I'm not that. I'm not self-worthy of love, not self-unworthy of love. And maybe in that process of bearing with that, of draining some of that energy, historical material gets kicked up. Maybe our history is a kind of, some of the glue of the identification that makes the grasping or the aversion to that element of the self model, stickier. Okay, we stay, air it out. Begin to step out of the gridlock of self-view. I'll offer this for your consideration. Please pick up what's useful, leave the rest behind.